Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35-30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. John Schmelk, Lance Mehta with you for the next 1 hour talking Giants football and some NFL football as well. Obviously a big day in the NFL today. The Tom Brady appeal hearing gets heard. We're not going to spend any time on that, folks. If you want to call, you can. But obviously I think people are kind of done hearing about deflated football. So we're taking a little bit of a different stance today. Pro Football Focus released a list for a lot of the teams in the NFL, at least. We don't see one up for the Redskins, but they talked about the secret superstars on each team in the NFL, including the NFC East. So they had the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Redskins. We'll talk about those players. Then if we want to get into the division too, and maybe talk about which team is the best offense and defense, kind of rank them 1 through 4 on both sides of the ball, that's something we can do as well. Lance, why don't you start with the secret superstar for the New York Football Giants?
Well, they named Devon Kennard as the secret superstar, and that's been a player that everybody on this program has been pretty high on as we start to enter the 2015 season. Why? Because he really flourished as a rookie in 2014. We're talking about a versatile player. It'll be very interesting to see how Steve Spagnuolo utilizes him in this new defensive formation. And the rationale behind why Pro Football Focus chose Devon Kennard is what they saw out of him specifically late in the season, John, when he got more and more playing time as a result of the injuries, and he started to show in the production areas in terms of getting to the quarterback, being in a position to make tackles, you know, being a player that all of a sudden everybody else could feed off of. And, you know, if you look at the overall makeup of this roster, I think certainly he'd be at the top of the list if you're thinking about a player that could emerge this season or continue to break out.
And I guess the secret superstar when Pro Football Focus talks about it in that regard, Lance, they're talking about guys that, you know, put up good numbers, rank high in their categories, but maybe don't get the recognition that they're supposed to get?
Yeah, that's basically exactly how you'd sum it up. Or somebody that has shown potential, but maybe hasn't had enough playing time in the previous few years, John, and now all of a sudden, because of an opportunity, somebody leaving via free agency, now they all of a sudden have a chance to really put everything together.
Yeah, and I guess a guy like Bromley, a guy like Moore, wouldn't fit into that because they haven't necessarily, you know, gotten enough playing time. While Kennard last year was a starter for a good portion of the year, was on the field a lot, so he would fall into that category. Who else to you would fall into the category of potential secret superstar for the Giants? If Kennard's the guy in defense, who would be your offensive guy?
Well, I think you could throw out Reuben Randall as a potential, given the fact that maybe now with Cruz and Beckham on the field at the same time consistently throughout the course of the season, you know, this may be his opportunity to really branch out and spread his wings. Larry Dinell, you could say he's similar to Devon Kennard, John, in that he's coming off a great first year with the Giants, maybe with additional opportunities, more weapons around him. Maybe he becomes that secret superstar. I would say Dinell and Randall to me. I mean, unless you want to throw an offensive lineman out there, but it's hard to throw an offensive lineman in because they don't really have juicy statistics.
Well, here's the trick with the offensive line, and I'm not sure based off anybody's performance last year I could safely rank anybody as a quote-unquote secret superstar, but I think this year at center, Weston Richburg could be one of the better offensive players on this team at their specific position. I think he's going to be very good. I think he's going to, you know, go back to his natural position and play the best football we've seen him play so far as a pro. So I think he's a guy that could be in the mix on offense for that quote-unquote category.
Well, especially since that's a position on the offensive line, John, that sets the tone and works so closely with the quarterback. And from what the coaching staff has said over the course of OTAs and minicamp, you know, Richburg feels back in his element. He's taking command of this offensive line. So it's not just a matter of that he's playing very physical in practice, but verbally, he is showcasing his leadership skills. So I think you combine all of that, I would agree. I think he has the potential to also fall under the category of secret superstar along with perhaps the Randalls and the Dinells of the world.
All right, since we're going to do a little division preview here coming up in the next few weeks, let's look at the other teams, Lance, because when you look at the Redskins, they didn't name somebody for that team yet. So maybe we can try to figure something out taking a look at that Redskins team. Now, the trick with them is that they've really turned their roster over a ton over the last year or so. And you got to look for somebody that maybe is under the radar. So a guy like Trent Williams wouldn't qualify. A guy like Pierre Garçon or DeSean Jackson, those guys wouldn't qualify. You know, Jordan Reed was hurt a lot last year. You know, I would almost want to say Alfred Morris because he doesn't really – people don't talk about him a whole lot. I think he's an excellent, excellent runner. Now, he's not a great receiver, so that hurts him.
Well, he had a tremendous rookie year too, so he's not really much of a secret. I wouldn't necessarily label him as
Yeah,
that.
And you know what? I wouldn't consider Ryan Kerrigan a secret either. Though,
no. Yeah.
To me, though, he does not get included in the list of top defensive ends as much as he could. He's as good as most defensive ends in the league. He's an excellent, excellent player.
And I think it's impressive what he's been able to accomplish, John, considering, remember, Brian Arakpo was hurt for the majority of his tenure with the Redskins. He now has moved on, but the fact that you didn't really have that true complement opposite you every single game and you were still able to put up good numbers to get to the quarterback, I think that says a lot about his individual abilities. I have one guy in mind that I'll throw out in terms of the Redskins defense.
Can I guess?
Because it's a new arrival.
Sure. Oh, it's a new arrival.
Throw out the guess here. Mm.
See, I thought you were going to go with Jason Hatcher. Coming off an injury, I was not going to go. A very effective defense.
But Hatcher's a veteran guy. I wouldn't necessarily throw him as a secret. So it's a new arrival on the Redskins defense.
Culliver?
Not Culliver. You're in the right department, though.
Deshaun Goldson's not a secret.
No, not Deshaun Goldson. We're making our way from right to left, I see. Process of elimination continues.
Who do you got?
Jerron Johnson, the Seahawks backup safety, is going to be a starter this year. Perhaps the opportunity allows him to break out.
We'll see if he's a starter. He'll compete with Duke Nacho to see if they can get
That's my boy. I love those pronunciations.
I know you do.
All right, I'm just glad that you at least mentioned that on the program.
All right, so let's move on to the next team. We'll go to the Philadelphia Eagles very quickly, Lance. Who do they have listed as their secret superstar for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Zach Ertz, the tight end.
I like that one.
I do, too.
I think Zach Ertz is going to have a very, very big year this year. I really do.
Well, considering Jeremy Maclin left, LeSean McCoy's out of the equation, Ertz now has the opportunity. I mean, they do have a number of young wide receivers, but I think that Ertz could become a real focal point of that offense, depending on what direction they want to go in. The problem with Ertz's production over the last few years, John, has been the fact that they have a plethora of tight ends. They have like three or four guys in the rotation. Now, I think Ertz has solidified a spot at the top of the depth chart. This could be his go-to year.
201-939-4513. Who is your secret superstar for the Giants this year? Give us a call. Who is the player going to be? Or maybe who do you think has been very much underappreciated the last couple of years? Give us a call. Let us know. Well, that's offensively, Lance. Do you think anybody on the Eagles' defense could qualify to you as a secret superstar? Do you think Fletcher Cox gets the recognition he deserves?
Cox is coming off a great season.
Oh, tremendous. Yes.
Yeah, I think he's a star, but is he a secret?
I think that's the
question. I wouldn't put him in the secret category. And Michael Kendricks is another one that I would throw out there, but I don't think he's a secret either. Nope. I think he's fairly well known. How about Brandon Graham? Graham, to me, doesn't get the type of notoriety that he should, and he's coming off also a very productive season.
I mean, here's the thing about Brandon Graham. He hasn't played enough snaps where his numbers are going to jump off the page, but in the snaps that he's played, he's been very productive. So that's not bad.
Well, can you throw him into the same department like a Devon Kennard? Because Kennard, if you look at his snaps, I think they increased as the season progressed, but not at the beginning of the year because everybody was healthy on the Giants.
Oh, but this is also Brandon Graham's fifth year in the league. It's Kennard's rookie season.
Okay, I mean, that's fair.
Graham's been, he's 27 years old. He's been around the block a little bit. He just hasn't played a ton. Now, if his production's so good per snap, why isn't he getting more snaps? And I think this year, after, like you mentioned, he got a $20-plus million contract this year. He's going to have a chance to earn that money and see what he can do. Final team in the division. Let's go to the Dallas Cowboys, Lance. Let's start our pro football focus first. Who do they have labeled as the Dallas Cowboys' secret superstar?
I was a little surprised with this selection.
Well, offense, defense. Let me see if I can guess it.
It was defense.
Oh,
I'm
going to go with
email. As if you read that.
You think I read your emails?
Yes, that, I know.
That's cute.
Shame on me for sending that.
I'm going to say Tyrone Crawford.
Yes, bingo. What a coincidence. A beautiful coincidence. We'll let that slide. But anyway.
What?
Well, you didn't read the email, so we're going to give you credit for a good guess there.
All right. Thank you.
No, you are right. So we'll see. I'm not ready to pat you on the back
so quickly. Your thoughts on Tyrone Crawford?
Well, I was surprised by that, mainly because he's been so hurt throughout the early stages of his career. Last year, though, he was productive. Dallas wasn't a great team at getting to the quarterback, but that's not the only way you can evaluate what a defensive lineman brings to the table. I think what jumped out to me about Tyrone Crawford, Rod Marinelli brought in a new defensive scheme, and they were moving guys around, and he seemed to fit in as a defensive end off the edge, which was somewhat of an adjustment period for Tyrone Crawford. If he stays healthy this year, certainly the opportunity is there, because Dallas has dealt with some injuries, and they haven't necessarily made huge splashes at free agency, though we'll be interested to see how a guy like Randy Gregory and some of these other players come in to help the pass rush. But, I mean, outside of Tyrone Crawford, it'd be hard to pick another defensive player, considering this is not necessarily a star-studded pass rush.
I'd go Orlando Scandrick. If I was to pick a secret superstar on the defense, it'd be Scandrick. I think he's the Cowboys' best individual defender at this point, depending obviously what happens with Greg Hardy and his suspension, some of the younger guys they drafted. I think Scandrick's an excellent, excellent cover corner. People don't talk about him a ton. He just got his contract redone this offseason. I think he's a good guy to talk about on defense. Offensively, it's hard because none of these guys are secrets. I mean, people talk about the offensive line all the time. I mean, I guess the guy that's talked about the least on the offensive line is probably Ronald Leary. You know, so you want to throw him into the mix. He was a very good, I believe he was much better blocking for the run than he was in the past last year.
Who knows, he may lose his starting job.
To Lael Collins, exactly.
Correct.
And then you have Travis Frederick, who not a ton of people talk about. He was very good. Witten, Des Bryant.
Well, I'll give
Terrence
you,
Williams, maybe.
Terrence Williams, I think, is a good one, John.
He had a real slow year last year into the postseason, though.
He did, but I think the opportunity is there. You know, if the attention continues to go to Dez, and Cole Beasley, remember, was re-signed, and he also was very productive last year, Williams should get favorable matchups during the course of the season. I'll throw out one more guy.
Yeah.
Curious your thoughts. What about Gavin Escobar, the backup tight end?
He hasn't done anything.
Well, once again, a secret here. That's what we're talking about.
No, but he have to be a secret star. Hasn't he in any way been a star so far in his career?
Well, it's hard when you're playing behind Jason Witten.
Well, yeah, so he has the potential to become a secret superstar, but he's not a secret superstar now.
But they do line up a lot of double formations in terms of the tight ends.
And even though they do that, he still doesn't get any production.
Well, I'm thinking that maybe this is the year that the secret breaks out.
I'm
stretching it, people, but I understand. I mean, you got to at least think outside the box.
Well,
you want me to go Klutz, the fullback?
If
I mean,
you
want to
stretch that
one.
Way, maybe I'll get Joseph Randle.
Okay.
If he beats out Darren McFadden for the starting running back spot, if you want to go that direction. But again, he hasn't done anything to warrant that quote-unquote name status. A guy like Devon Kennard has done it in the past. You know, Crawford had a good year last year. I get it. You know, you have to pick somebody that's already proven something. And to me, Joseph Randle hasn't proven anything yet. Escobar hasn't proven anything yet. So I wouldn't put those guys into this category.
Well, of the three we threw out, though, I think Williams has shown a little more so than the Randles and the Escobars. Williams
true.
Did get to the end zone last year. He had a couple of good plays. So that's why Williams, maybe I'd put at the top of the list, at least on offense for the Cowboys.
Well, who's your secret superstar for the New York Football Giants? Give us a call, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. We'll talk about it. One other fun thing we could do here, Lance, I know this might get Giant fans excited. When you take a look at this division, and obviously when you play in any season, guys, the group of teams you first focus on is the division. Who are the most important players on each team, and which position group on each team is the best? I didn't want to get too deep into it now and do like defensive line, linebackers, corners, and safeties. But in terms of offenses and defenses, Lance, how would you rank the offenses right now in this division? This I've kind of gone over in my head, and I know what I'm going to do. But how would you rank them, 1 through 4 in this division in terms of offenses?
Wow. Let's see. I'd probably put Washington on the bottom.
Okay.
That's where I'd start.
That's where I would start, too.
And a lot of it has to do with questions about RG3's health, questions about whether or not he's going to get back to the level he was as a rookie.
Chemistry with Gruden.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Also, offensive line questions still for Washington.
Yep.
Are they going to get back to that running game mentality with Alfred Morris?
On board 100%.
So Washington I'm going to put at the bottom. Number 3, I'm going to go with Philadelphia.
I would, too. I'm with you on that as well.
Also, transition. Even though Chip Kelly's still around, you got a number of new pieces on offense. They lost Evan Mathis. They lost, obviously, Sean McCoy and Jeremy Maclin. Are this young nucleus of players going to step up? And Sam
Selleck's
Bradford,
gone, too,
of course.
Right? Or is he still there?
I got to check on Selleck. I did not see him on the depth chart when I saw that.
Let's see. Let me see.
I believe Selleck left.
No, Selleck's still there.
He's still there? Okay.
Selleck's still there.
Because they also have Trey Burden, who
correct.
Also was a good tight end slash special teams player. So Philadelphia, I'm going to put as number 3. And as I mentioned, the last factor is Sam Bradford, his health. I think that's a major question mark. So obviously then it becomes a battle between the Giants and the Cowboys. And the
this
Giants,
is interesting.
It is very interesting.
This is very, very, very close.
The Giants' offense showed a lot, especially later in the season. And you're assuming, hopefully, that Beckham, Cruz, and Randall on the field at the same time, a plethora of running backs, an improved offensive line. Right now, I'll put the Giants as second. And the reason I want to put the Giants as second is only because the Cowboys are coming back with their nucleus for the most part. Although DeMarco Murray's not there, but the offensive line is still in place. I'm going based on track record here. The Giants have a tremendous amount of upside, but there is a few question marks in terms of health and how well the offensive line is going to play. So right now, I'd give Dallas the slight edge, but I think it's very close.
I think the Giants have the talent to be number one, but I think if you go by past performance, like you mentioned, you know, we got to see what happens with the Cowboys running back position now, too. Can that running game be as effective behind the same offensive line but without DeMarco Murray? That's a big thing. And I think that's the biggest question for the Cowboys offense is really, you know, assuming Dez is going to be there, Witten, Romo, they'll be fine throwing the football around. And the offensive line obviously is one of the best in football. Now, the Giants are interesting because you know the wide receiver position is going to be top-notch. You know the quarterback position is going to be top-notch. Larry Donnell proved to be a good pass catcher last year, so he should be good in that regard. And I think you have the talent on the offensive line to be a lot better. But with all these guys in different spots than where they were last year, the matter is in putting it together and becoming that unit that plays well together. And if they do, and that question's answered in a positive fashion, I think they could be just as good, if not better, than Dallas's offense this year.
I would agree. I think the reason why I give Dallas the edge, and you just alluded to a number of these factors, if I was to label and list the question marks for both teams, John, I'd say the Giants have a few more question marks than versus what the Cowboys bring to the table on offense.
If it all works out, I think the Giants' three wide receivers are probably a little bit better than the Cowboys' three best wide receivers.
Absolutely.
You have to give the edge to Dallas a tight end with Witten.
Correct.
The Giants have the edge at running back.
You because know, there's known commodities that the Giants have.
Right. While Eli's been much, much better in the playoffs and in big-time spots, regular season numbers, Romo and Eli have been pretty neck and neck over the last couple of years.
That could be about a wash.
I don't think there's that much
season.
Of a difference there. Again, it gets different when you talk about fourth quarter and playoffs and things like that. But and then you look at the offensive lines, and that's what the question is. Dallas has the advantage. But if the Giants can put their offensive line questions together, you can make the argument that they have the best offense in the division. I can make the argument, quite frankly, Lance, that they might have the best offense in the conference. I mean, the only other team that's even close to them in the conference to me is Green Bay.
In terms of full profile, certainly you throw the Packers out there. I'm just bringing up the laundry list of teams so I could just get a better vision of who I may think
would
be in the conversation.
No one in the NFC South would be in that category. None of those teams are quite good enough.
I mean, all bounce-back seasons for those teams, considering they all finished under 500.
I would not put them in the Giants category offensively.
What about the NFC West, though? You have a number of teams there.
The Seahawks offense is fine, but it's not great. The Niners are, you know, I wouldn't put it there. Not the Rams. Not the Cardinals. They're not as good as the Giants. I think the top three offenses in the conference, the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Packers. And we'll see how it plays out over the course of the year.
What about Detroit? The Lions.
They lost a few offensive linemen.
They did, but they've got a number of weapons,
too.
They've
got to figure out their running game a little bit. Is Joik Bell the number one guy? Is someone going to take carries away from him? And we all know about Calvin Johnson. Much respect. Eric Ebron, I think he's going to have a big second year. I think they're top five in the Lions. I don't think they're in that top three group with the Packers and the Cowboys and the Giants.
That's fair. I'd put them in the top five, though.
Yeah,
Giants, Cowboys, Packers, top three, and then I'd say Lions maybe and Seahawks round out the five.
Seahawks offense?
I think Seattle offensively does not get enough credit.
Jimmy Graham's there now.
I don't think the Seahawks get enough credit.
I'll buy that. I'll buy it.
You got a great running game, you got a good offensive line, and now you're bringing in arguably one of the best tight ends.
Again, I think adding Jimmy Graham might put them over the top. But before that addition, I would not put them in my top.
Well, but see, the problem with Seattle is we get caught up in names. And you're right, they don't have a great receiving
corps
based on names.
I get caught up in production and points per game.
But they've been up there. Offensively, Seattle's been up there.
They've been fine. They've been great.
You know, you're putting the expectations through the roof.
I'm talking about top offenses in the conference. Yeah, right, my expectations are through the roof. We're talking about the best in the conference.
Hold on a minute. Let's look at last year. Last year offense, where Seattle ranked?
Sure, please.
Let's take a look.
Let's do that.
I mean, I know rushing wise, they were
looking at yards per game. Or you're looking at
I'm looking at
points.
Let's look at total yards per game.
Well, we can look at yards and points, and we'll see where both are.
Let's see where Seattle ranked. In terms
I would say
overall.
Neither one will be. Top.
Seattle total yards was top 10. Ninth overall.
That's pretty good.
Okay, now you want to see points.
Let me see points.
Actually, I don't even have to change that. I can just go there.
Not. Let me see points for Seattle.
Well, this is points 10. Per game.
You know what? Better than I thought it would be.
They've been fairly consistent.
Better than I thought it would be. And how about the Saints, too, with Breeze? I know they lost Jimmy Graham. How good do you think the Saints offense is going to be this year?
Well, I think Drew Breeze is going to be forced to really spread the wealth more now.
Yeah.
So perhaps this offense could be real dangerous from that perspective. They brought in C.J. Spiller.
Big-time talented
as a
running
different
back
running back.
Absolutely.
Who can also catch the ball out of the backfield. I love their rookie wide receiver from a year ago, Brandon Cooks. If he stays healthy for a year, watch out for him as a deep threat.
I think Yeldon Monsier. Colston's still there.
Correct. They're definitely in the conversation of like 6-7 in the NFC.
They traded Kenny Stills, right?
Correct. He went to Miami.
Correct. All right, everybody, what do you think? And we'll get to the defenses in a second. 201-939-4513. Let's get to the phones as soon as we get them. Let's take a look at some tweets first, guys. We have some open lines. If you want to get on the phones, the time is now. 201-939-4513. Ben Gruen, Giants have enough talent to be first or second offense in division, as well as top five overall if Cruz is healthy and offensive line comes through. Saints are always lethal. I think Seattle with scrambling Wilson, untackable Lynch, and Jimmy Graham could surprise. I agree. I think he's on the money with both of those. I think the Saints are interesting because they clearly put an emphasis this offseason trying to get their defense better, purposely having to take a hit on offense to do it. We're going to see if that pays off at some point this year.
Well, they did. They changed their philosophy. I think Mickey Loomis realized that there's only so much of my salary cap I can invest on offense and then basically get in a shootout every single year. They need defensive stops. Remember, they signed Jarris Byrd from the Buffalo Bills a year ago. He got hurt, so he'll be back in the mix. They did bring in pretty much one defensive player after another through the draft. And that certainly has been the focal point this offseason.
No question about it. Giovanni Giustiniano, I think I got that right, actually, at Lancer Gold V2. Jonathan Hankins is a Giants secret superstar at a Pro Bowl year last year and went unnoticed.
That's a good one, actually. That's a very good one.
Well, I think I agree he had a great year, a Pro Bowl year last year, but the question is, would you consider him quote-unquote unnoticed?
From a national perspective,
so?
Absolutely, John. Yeah. I would say he went completely unnoticed. Let's put it this way, and this is the wrong audience to ask this question because all Giants fans know who Jonathan Hankins is, but if we were having a conversation amongst representatives from every team in the NFL, how many people do you think would say that Jonathan Hankins stood out to them? Based on the other defensive linemen in the NFL last season.
I think that's fair. And you know what? I think he is right now a better player than Devon Kennard. I think the question is recognition. And I think in NFL circles, he has been recognized as a great player. Maybe the fans haven't heard his name a whole lot of these other teams. But I think within NFL circles, I think people are pretty universal in understanding Hankins is becoming one of the best defensive tackles in the pros.
Well, I think within the NFC East circles, Redskins, Eagles, and Cowboys are aware of what Jonathan Hankins can do. Teams that maybe play the Giants every 4 years, I don't know necessarily if he has reached their radar. But he and Devon Kennard, I would certainly put up there as great examples of secret superstars.
All right, we got some more tweets that I like, but let's get to a couple of calls that just came in. We'll start a Mike in New Rochelle first. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? First time caller, love the show.
Appreciate hey, Mike. That, Mike. What's happening?
So I want to talk about when you guys are talking about superstars, secret superstars for the Giants.
Yeah.
I think Robert Ayers would be one of them.
And, you know, I think if you extended Robert Ayers half a season to a full season last year, I think he would definitely fall into that category. When he was on the field, he was extremely productive.
Exactly. I was still last year. I wasn't sure why Robert Mathias Kiwanuka had as many more snaps as he did. I thought when he was on the field, he flashed more to me than Kiwanuka did.
Well, Ayers had a very good season, and part of it was, I think, more opportunities for him in doing what he's comfortable with the Giants as opposed to how he was utilized with the Denver Broncos. And he even mentioned that last season when he arrived here in New York. He said, I really like how the Giants are going to utilize me. I'm back in my comfort zone. So I think that's a big reason why he was extremely productive. If he can piggyback off of what he did last season, you know, I would certainly throw him in the mix. I think when people talk about a secret superstar, Mike, they tend to get caught up in maybe a player that's been in the league for only a year or two. But even somebody who's a veteran like Robert Ayers, if the opportunity hasn't been there early in their career, they would certainly fall into that category.
And, Mike, I want to add this, too. I talked to some of the defensive coaches last week, and whenever I mention Robert Ayers to them, their answer is always the same. Very good interior pass rusher. I think you're going to see him play that three-technique defensive tackle on third down, third and long, in passing situations a lot to get pressure from the inside of that pocket to try to collapse it on the quarterback.
Now, another question for you guys.
Yeah.
Who do you see the front four, as of right now, if you just had to shoot out names, who do you think Steve Spagnuolo is putting the front four on and on a third and long situation?
Third and long situation, if I had to guess, I would say JPP over at right end.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll see Demontre Moore on the field. I think we'll see Robert Ayers at one of the defensive tackle spots. And, you know, figure out who that second defensive tackle is going to be interesting. I think you can
you
have
think
Hankins.
Double O, maybe?
I think you can have Hankins there. I think Odighizuwu is a guy, if he's healthy, and, you know, I think he's
inside.
A guy that could do it. And we saw Kerry Wynn go move inside a little bit last year, too. So I think all those guys could be in the mix in those situations.
Don't overlook Hankins' name because he did have 7 sacks last year, and he proved he could get to the quarterback. So he's not just a guy that could stuff the running lanes and stop the run. I think they also view him as a pass rusher now.
I agree, totally.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, Mike, appreciate the phone call.
Good stuff. And I think that's interesting because I think the third and fourth down, well, the third and long passing situation, rather, defensive line is going to look a lot different than the first and second down defensive line.
I think that's fair to say. But he's got versatility. You just threw out, I mean, you threw out 4 guys, and I wasn't even thinking about Double O. I forgot about that. And Double O certainly could be moved inside. Ayers, you're right, has the versatility. Let's not forget about a guy like Kerry Wynn, too. You can maybe find a way to get him on the field in a third and long. There are options. And that actually really makes things even more excited when you continue to look at the depth chart and the box score.
How about Jay Bromley? Coaches talked about his ability to penetrate and collapse the interior pocket. They want him to work on the run defense, but they're happy with his pass rushing skills inside. Could you see him in there on some third down situations rushing inside? Maybe. But sometimes you don't want all quick guys. Sometimes you want the guy that can use power and collapse the pocket as much as he can use his quickness. And I think Bromley could be one of those guys.
Yeah, Bromley, Hankins, those are players that have the strength to, you know, push guys forward and not allow the quarterback to have much room to maneuver. So I would certainly keep him in mind, too. And let's not forget about Cullen Jenkins. I feel as if he's the forgotten commodity in the conversation, John. But he's a veteran presence. Hopefully he's going to be healthy this year. One of the things that the coaching staff talked about, even Robert Nunn, you know, remember, Jenkins was battling injury last year. I think a lot of people tend to forget about that because we talk about all the other players that dealt with injuries. But, you know, let's see what Jenkins does during training camp. He could be a name to watch.
201-939-4513. Shakes in Baltimore, Maryland. Shakes, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Long time no speak, man. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, John, real quick. you was kind of wrong on the Seattle's offense. But you see how much of a run game can bode well for your O?
No, look, Shakes, you're right. I did not think Seattle was that high. I thought they were probably closer to 15 than they were to 10. Looking at the offense last year, and with Jimmy Graham's addition, they should be pretty good. And you're right. Look, a consistent running game, just go ask the Dallas Cowboys last year, a consistent running game can open things up for the entire offense. And here's the thing about a consistent running game that helps you. No matter when you're playing, no matter where you're playing, no matter who you're playing, a good running game is going to hold up. It's not affected by weather. It's not affected by home and road. It's not affected by conditions. That thing travels. So it's a very useful thing to have.
No doubt. And that goes for this offense for this year. That's why I think that this offense is going to carry our defense most of the season. But I'll get back to that in a second.
Sure.
I'm just going to talk about this running backs because last year we kind of got into a groove when we went to, you know, played Washington or Atlanta and all that. And that was when Jennings was starting to get into a little groove. Then he got hurt. And we had to rely on Williams, and then things started to go a little downhill. But this year, I see it being different. Even if Jennings goes down, we still got Perrin, and we still got Williams that can carry the load. And like I said before on this show, watch out for Akeem Hunt, man. I love this kid, man. Y'all know speed kills for me. Now, as far as the offense carrying the defense, I think that that's going to be the case most of the season, but I also think that the defense has to win us a few games. They have to come up big in a few games this season for us to be successful. And if Beeson can stay healthy, I believe that this defense can weather the storm. I would say this. I think that offense will be a top 10 offense, even if they stay healthy and everything. And I believe that the defense will be around like the top 15. They'll be in the teens.
I think if you can get to those two areas, Shakes, if you can get the offense somewhere between 5 and 8, and you can get the defense somewhere between 14 and 18, I think you'll have a very good chance of being in the postseason.
Yeah, and my man Dan from Delaware, shout out to my boy. He brought up this fact that, you know, even if the offense does carry us most of this season, what the defense has to do is come up big and around playoff time. And that's when we need that defense to start gelling. And I believe Spags will have our defense gelling if everybody is healthy. If we get some significant injuries, we're done again.
Now, Shakes, you know, it's not just end of the year. I think fourth quarter defense is important, too. Can you get other teams off the field when you need to get them off the field at the end of games at the most important time? So I think that goes into your whole gelling in December thing. You know, defensive overall numbers are great to look at, and they're useful. They're a good way to judge overall ability of a defense. But getting those big stops in the fourth quarter when, you know, you got to get your offense back on the field to try to win a game, or, you know, you're only up three and you can't allow a field goal to tie or a touchdown to win, that's when you really need your defense to step up, grind it out, and secure those victories that you need to make the playoffs. Because you let those little victories early in the year slip away in close games because you can't get a stop late, that's going to kill you down the road.
Okay, my last thing I wanted to say, and I'm just hoping that Jerry Reese is listening some way, somehow.
Yeah.
I just hope that we're not done making moves. Like, we're not done with this roster. We're not good. You know, I understand you wanted to see what we got, but we need to be all in on this season. We need to win. It can't be four straight years losing it, not making the playoffs. It can't be. That would be making history, I believe. It can't be possible. So, Jerry Reese, keep making moves. Keep bringing in players. If guy get cut and you feel like he can contribute to this team, please bring him in. And please don't wait until week two to do it, so the guaranteed contracts and all that. No. Let's get these guys in now and get some camaraderie. Thanks for taking my call, y'all.
Hey, sounds good,
Shakes. Always good to hear
from you,
Shakes. 201-939-4513. And look, here's the bottom. We have some open lines, by the way, if you want to get in and talk some Giants football. Here's the bottom line. The roster is never complete. Whether it's week one of the preseason, after cuts, after first cuts, you know, week three of the regular season, you're always trying to get the roster better at every stop.
Last year they brought in Israel Adonijé, and it may not be a household name, but they did make moves last year, and that was relatively close to the start of the season. So, you know, everybody here does their due diligence to see whether or not a good player is a part of the equation. One other thing, John, that I wanted to throw out related to what Shakes brought up,
sure,
about, you know, needing the offense to perhaps carry the defense, and then you countered with, yes, but the defense needs to come through in the fourth quarter. If you use the Dallas Cowboys as an example, because Dallas's offense did wonders for its defense last season, especially in terms of limiting the amount of snaps that the Dallas defense
saw
last
year. The offense helped them an awful lot.
But with that being said, John, you could still point to games last season, as I bring up their game log, where their defense came up big in crunch time to close out games. Case in point, the Rams game, a 34-31 victory for the Cowboys. That late interception by Bruce Carter helped solidify that victory. Then you continue to go on the 31-21 victory against the Giants. Larry Donnell with a few fumbles. The Cowboys defense helped secure that victory. I would point that out. You could go down the laundry list of games too late. Philadelphia, they made some defensive plays the second matchup. So there were three or four games where I would say, hey, the offense did come to play, but I think the defense still was able to come up big in that fourth quarter that you touched on to be the difference maker in solidifying a home victory, or a road victory, rather.
Timely plays. You know, in baseball, you talk about timely hitting. In the NBA, you talk about hitting big shots. And in the NFL, it's the same thing. Can you get those big-time stops in the fourth quarter when the other team is running their best plays? They know they have to succeed. Are you good enough to stop those teams when they're in that type of mode? That's the question.
Momentum is huge in the NFL, and if your defense or offense can stop it from the opposite team perhaps taking advantage of a game, I mean, I think that's huge. So you always want balance. And I know it's easier said than done more often than not. We've seen examples where an offense can carry a team, but I think based on what was demonstrated last season, and the Giants' offense was very good, the numbers prove that, you still need your defense to be that X factor in crunch time.
I want to get back to the defenses that Shakes brought up, because we didn't rank our NFC East defenses yet. We'll do that in just a second, but I want to get to the next caller, and that's Andrew in Stanhope, New Jersey, at 201-939-4513. Andrew, what's up?
Shakes, he's mad that the big guy retired, the linebacker. I forget his name now, the linebacker.
Oh, Aaron Curry. Yeah.
Yeah, Aaron Curry. And he's like, Curry, bring back Curry. And he was mad Curry wasn't on the top. And quarterback, he's like, he played the option in college. No, but my serious question is two questions. One about the tight ends and Dan Fells. Do you think he'll be the one of the tight ends on the roster? And then
Yes.
The guy from last year, I forget his name already, the pass-catching guy. He'll
Larry
be on
Diddell?
The roster.
Larry Diddell you're talking about?
Oh, Cunningham, yes. You mean, or Larry Diddell?
Diddell, those two will be on the active roster probably, right?
I think there's a very good chance Fells is on this team. I think the team takes solace in the fact that he's a very solid player. They know what he's going to do. He's a pretty good blocker. He has good hands. So, yes, I think to have that good, solid veteran presence, I believe Daniel Fells will be on this roster.
Good. And I just want to ask, you guys probably talked about it, and Anita and Paul, but who do you predict? Is there anyone like Corey Washington this year, a rookie or a free agent, someone that you think will make the roster that, is a long shot to make the roster? Is there anyone that you've seen in camp and anyone that surprises you, that you're, more impressed with than you originally thought, or someone that you're not as impressed with? And I'll listen off air. Thanks for taking the call.
All right, Andrew, appreciate the phone call. A player that perhaps is falling under the radar was an undrafted guy that has a legitimate shot at making the team this year. That is the question. One guy I'll throw out, perhaps because there's opportunity based on the depth chart, Matt Lacoste, tight end out of Illinois. Maybe I'll throw him out there as somebody that I think has a reasonable shot to make the roster. I mean, there are a couple of other players that I think are good and have upside. I'm just concerned about the numbers game, John, whether or not they will actually make this roster when it's all said and done, such as an Akeem Hunt who shakes throughout.
I like Jerome Cunningham.
Jerome Cunningham, I think, is also a solid
one. I think he's got the speed to be a very dangerous pass catcher. And frankly, Will Tye has showed very, very consistent hands in practice. Him and Ricky Stanzi have actually developed a very nice chemistry with that third-team offense. They don't get a ton of snaps. As you know, the third-team offense doesn't get a ton of snaps, even in OTAs. But I think Will Tye has actually shown some pretty good hands, to be quite honest with you. Anybody else that would jump out at me? I think Shockey Brown is very quietly consistent. People don't talk about that enough. I think he's very solid. I think he knows what he's doing. I've been surprised how well Josh Gordy's played in the slot when they've asked him to play there. And I think's been pretty good? I think Justin Curry's been pretty good.
Yes, that's a great one, actually. I forgot about him.
The undrafted free agent safety, he always seems to be around the line of scrimmage, getting the right angle, getting towards the ball. Now, does he make mental mistakes like any other young player would? Sure, absolutely. But he's actually, a guy you thought would just be a throwaway training camp body. He's impressed me.
I like the safeties that you threw out because I tend to forget there's opportunity there for that position to make this roster. So Curry and Gordy would certainly, I think, fit the equation of a Corey Washington-esque type of, not necessarily player, but somebody who may have not been a household name, steps up in training camp and is able to be a member of the 53. Curry has made a number of interceptions in camp. He stood out day to day.
Now the question is, who on offense could it be? Because, that's what people look for. They'll go for the guy that's going to put up the big numbers offensively, maybe make some plays in the preseason.
That's why I went tight end, because I think there's at least opportunity there.
If Hunt gets opportunities to run the ball, I could see him busting a big run or two with his speed. I could see Orleans Darkwa have a nice little preseason run of the football, too. That wouldn't shock me. Of the wide receivers, look, Corey Washington could be this year's Corey Washington, could be last year's Corey Washington, because it's not like he's established himself in the regular season yet. So I think Corey could have another big preseason, to be quite honest with you.
How about a guy like Ben Edwards?
He's a guy that's shown a little something in the slot. I want to see Marcus Harris come back and continue to play better. I thought a couple times in OTAs, he had the dropsies a little bit. I'd like to see Marcus Harris come back and have a very strong preseason. He was doing so well last year before
tremendous.
He got hurt. So I think that's another guy that I would throw out there.
That would be a good one, especially how productive he was, as you mentioned, last season. I mean, he was essentially just about a lock to make this roster right before he got hurt. So it would be nice to see him return to that form, which made him a big-time name throughout the preseason last year.
201-939-4513. We have some open lines if you want to jump on, talk some Giants football right here on Giants.com. John Schmuck, Lance Middle with you. Brendan's in New Jersey. Brendan, you're up next. What's going on, pal?
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing great, Brendan. How are you?
Good. My question for you guys regards the linebackers, and I'm just wondering what the rotation would look like with, Devin Kennard a little bit healthier and the addition of Jonathan Casillas and JT Thomas.
Well, I think right now your starters are Beeson in the middle, with JT Thomas and Devon Kennard as your outside backers. I think that's going to be your starters right now. Jamil McClain can back up all three spots. Casillas has been working primarily as, I believe, a strong side linebacker. He's a guy that's going to run in and out a little bit. Herzlich's a guy that's solid, has been here a long time, obviously. But I think that's going to be your rotation there at linebacker going into the season. And, you know, we'll see which guys can step up and get the job done. But I think, barring any injuries, Thomas, Beeson, Kennard are going to be your three starters.
Good. I can definitely agree with that. And one final question is, what do you see our record being within the NFC East? I don't think we're going to be going 6-0, but realistically, what do you see our record being within the division?
I think if you want to make the playoffs, you got to be minimum 3-3. I think 4-2 gives you a very good chance of getting into the playoffs. So I think the Giants will probably be 3-3 or 4-2. I think they're going to be right on the fringe there. In the division. The problem is that the division's tough. I mean, the Cowboys, is it five straight games they beat the Giants? I know they beat them. They swept them two straight years. I'm not sure if they won the last game 3 years ago. The Eagles have given them trouble when they've been healthy. The Giants have faced them with a backup quarterback a couple times.
Redskins have been a troubling team in recent years, even though they haven't been necessarily great record-wise.
And I'll tell you what, if JPP doesn't strip that ball from Robert Griffin III at the end of the first half in that game last year, that's a completely different game, Giants-Redskins.
That was a huge turning point.
Yeah, I can see us sweeping Washington. Probably, if we're lucky, we can go 1-1 against Dallas, and maybe 1-1 against Philly. But we could maybe sweep Philly if we really tried.
Well, that would be the difference maker in being 3-3 versus 4-2, Brendan. So obviously, it would be huge to sweep one of those three teams, as you mentioned, because that puts you in a good position to get that fourth win in the division.
I think 4-2 year's goal. I think if you get to 4-2, you're thrilled. If you're 3-3, I think that, you know, just because of the strength of the division, I think 3-3 is probably a more realistic number. But I still think that gives you a decent chance of making the playoffs. But your goal should be 4-2. Be happy with that. If you get to 5-1, you should be ecstatic, given how tough the NFC East is this year.
Of course. Very competitive division.
No question. Thanks, Brendan.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, you too,
Brendan.
Pal. Thanks for calling in. And look, division games are so important. They're so important. And you look this year, you know, I know Giant fans are annoyed about it, and I get it. I mean, you got to start your season at Dallas, you know, the team that is coming off a 12-4 season, winning your division. You're on the road. You're still trying to get, you know, the new defensive coordinator. You're trying to get your things together on defense. So that's a very tough first game. You get Washington at home on a Thursday. You know how Thursday night football is.
Those turnarounds.
Anything can happen. Now, the Giants are at home on that game, so that's going to help them a whole lot. But still, Thursday night. Anything can happen, but I like the more experienced coaching staff, the veteran quarterback, compared to what the Redskins are dealing with right now. Then you get at Philly on a Monday night. God, playing in Philly at night. Those fans are going to be out of their minds crazy. Philly will have an extra off day, obviously, so will the Giants in the week before. Then they got to play home versus Dallas. And then you're done with four of your six division games by October 25th. Then you get 1, 2, 3 weeks, three games without a division game, then a bye. So you go pretty much a whole month before you play in the division again at Washington. Then you only have, when you have four more games outside your division, you finish the game, finish the season rather, home versus Philadelphia. So the Giants better play well early because they play a lot of division games early in the year, Lance. By October 25th, they played four games in the division already.
Well, that was one of the first things that jumped out to me, John, when I looked at the schedule. It's so top-heavy with all of the divisional games early. I like them when they're more spread out. And the league had been trying to make an effort, if you recall, to make more of the division games later in the season so that teams couldn't bench their stars and rest them up for the postseason. So I was a little surprised in terms of how the structure of this year's schedule played out. But you're right. You have to put an emphasis on those early season games against divisional foes because if you don't take care of your business in the division, as we just spoke about with a recent caller, you're going to put yourself in a very precarious situation. So it goes without saying that, you know, they need to emphasize those early divisional games and you need to be at your top and at your best when you head into the early stages of this season.
All right, let's take a look at a couple other Twitter questions here. By the way, you can still hit us on the phones at 201-939-4513 if you want to get involved. At JCS02008, Hunt will have to beat out Hanoski for the fourth running back spot. Tough to see him making the 53. And I was going to actually comment when Shake said that. I like what Hunt brings to the field, but Lance, I can't see this team keeping five running backs. So unless they're going to go without a tight end, I think Hunt is more likely than not going to be practice squad bound. And again, he's going to have to beat out Orleans Darkwa, too. Let's not forget him.
And Darkwa has been very productive in OTAs.
And on special teams.
And on special teams, and also last year in the time that they utilized him when other players were hurt and banged up. So I don't think it's necessarily so simple to say Akeem Hunt skyrockets up the depth chart. He's got talent, he's got upside, but it's a numbers game. And that's why when somebody called up earlier and asked, you know, on offense, who could be the next Corey Washington? I think it was Andrew. I'm looking at a position, John, where there's flexibility in the numbers game. Where is their flexibility? I think tight end, there's some flexibility. I don't think everybody's locked in to their respective spots at tight end. Wide receiver, I think it's going to be very difficult for an unknown commodity to make a significant jump. Running back, same thing, because Jennings, Vereen, and Williams are your core. Hynoski is your fullback. That's four already. Are you going to push that to five or six? Probably unlikely, given the fact that you need depth in other positions. So when you look at offense, if you're going to make a splash, it's probably going to be on the offensive line, and it's going to be at the tight end position more so than any other position, because I think there's opportunity to move up, meaning you make some noise in training camp, you turn some eyes, coaching staff notices you, and they say, okay, maybe we need to make an effort to retain this player.
I have a prediction on Twitter, Anthony in Phoenix, and Anthony, I'm going to put this on the board now. McAdoo clicks with the Giants offense. They're going to average 28 points per game.
Oh, wow. We're shaking up the predictions here, not just record.
Putting that on the board.
Points per game. Didn't we have something else? We had an Eli prediction, right, by a caller.
Joey in Virginia, Eli, 40 touchdowns, 9 picks.
So the predictions are all across the board.
Yeah, we're getting some.
Literally.
And Dean in Connecticut, Giants, 50-plus sacks.
Wow. So we have a sack prediction, points and per game, and Eli.
And the single game, not the single game, but the individual sack leader for the Giants this year will have 12 sacks. That was part of his prediction. So he thinks it's going to be very spread out.
Wow,
over
some
the course
real specifics there.
Which I thought was interesting. Let's see what else we got here. At Big Ben Z, safety development will be the crux of season defensively. Linebackers, DBs, and D-line all are vets. Safety isn't safe yet. Well, in the NFL, there's no position that you would ever consider safe. And whenever you mention Tom Coughlin about being comfortable about anything, he gives you the death stare. So I'll point that out
to
first.
Too.
Oh, yeah. I accidentally dropped the word comfortable on him back in the – I think it was that the combine? It was sometime in late season or early winter. And I dropped the word comfortable to him, and he was not.
No.
Please. He looked at me, John, you know I don't like that word, John. And I go, I know, Coach, I'm sorry. But, look, the safety position is going to be important. And I think, you know, we're all assuming Landon Collins is going to start. He's been lining up as a starter. But the competition there between a lot of young guys, Burhey second year, Taylor third year, Gordy the vet, Michael Thompson the rookie, Collins the rookie.
Curry.
These are all, and Curry the undrafted free agent rookie. These are all guys who are going to compete for those spots.
And we need to see what the formations are going to look like, John, when we get to training camp. Because remember, Burhey's been sidelined. So it's been Taylor and Collins, basically, because everybody else, for the most part, hasn't been fully healthy. You hope by training camp the nucleus is back to full form, and then you see a variety of different formations so they have a better gist of what they're working with, and you can see who's more comfortable with one another. But I would agree. I think Collins is certainly a front runner, as is Cooper Taylor and Nat Burhey, because they have a little bit more experience over some of the other players that are now back in the mix. A
couple guys disagree on the Cowboys running game. At JCS year 2008, once again, downgrade from Murray to McFadden will be substantial. They'll have to rely on their passing game. However, Ben Gruen says, wait, was it Ben Gruen? No, it was Nathaniel at Pint 1998, excuse me. I think the Cowboys running game was more the line than Murray, so McFadden will be fine, but I would love to be wrong. And the question is, can McFadden stay healthy, which has really been the problem?
Well, last season was the first year that he finally played all 16 games, so that's certainly an injury concern for the Cowboys. But remember, DeMarco Murray had always been an injury concern too, John, and he finally stayed healthy last year as well. He did play through that hand injury late in the season. So sometimes the injury bug strikes when you never want it to strike, and sometimes you avoid it. I think that's certainly going to be a big storyline for the Dallas Cowboys backfield. But the offensive line, as most of you have voiced on Twitter, I think is a big reason why that running game flourished. And if you're a believer in that, then that means that it's not as if you're bringing Joe Schmo off the street, but you can take perhaps a downgrade at that position and I still think be productive.
Absolutely. Let's see. At D_Ricker81, Vereen will have a huge impact on our offense this year. Hopefully, Andre Williams can show improvement as well. More balanced attack.
Well, I would agree. I do think that they're going to have a much more balanced attack. I think that the offensive line is going to be healthier, and I think that you're going to see a little bit more versatility in the backfield because you have some other options. So that should bode very well for the running game to take a significant jump based on where the rankings and where the numbers showed in 2014. There's potential for this offense to be very dangerous, very balanced. It's a matter of, at the end of the day, clearly the old cliche in football, everybody staying healthy. But there's potential here. You just hope that that injury bug does not strike.
Here we go. At Elam Gray, Ruben Randall is going to have a monster year. Mark this tweet. Well, Elam, I'm clicking the favorite button, so that is literally marked. If you want to give me predictions on stats, I'll put it on the board.
Well, that could maybe warrant a placement on the wall.
No, you have to give me specifics.
Well, but he's saying that Ruben Randall is going to be
what constitutes a monster year? What's the
I think we can figure out the basics.
No, you can't. I need specifics.
Well, who sent out the tweet?
I did. I replied back. Okay. And you give me some specific
stats. So let's hope he gives you some numbers so he appeases to you. So this way you can then put him up on the wall.
It's not appeasement to me. It's having a baseline in which to measure a prediction.
Well, we can,
see, this is why you run into problems, Lance. You have to
prediction.
Be specific. No, but you can't have this general prediction that I can't ever decide if you're right or wrong.
Well, so let's look at this.
That's what I'm saying. I think you're going to do a good job on the show today. Who the hell decides if you did a good job?
What?
Eli thinks you stink every day.
Well, that
Sperling can't
saying.
Stand you. Maybe I think you do a good job, but who cares?
Well, thankfully, that's not a topic up for debate. Yes. We're sticking to Ruben Randall.
I got your face all right.
What would be defined as a monster year? I think that's fair.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
Well, I'm asking you, though. You keep throwing it back at me.
No, but it's not our decision what's a monster year. It's the person that's making the prediction. Decision on what will constitute a monster
year. I'm going to help bring this conversation back to Planet One here, okay? As opposed to Planet
what
Two
the hell
and Planet
is planet
Three.
One?
I'm throwing out new terminology because you're making me wacky and distracted. I'm trying to find Ruben Randall's name here on my laundry list.
And this
list
is why people don't think you do a good job posting the show.
Yes, exactly. Keep piling on, by the way. All it is further motivating me to get into another conversation. All right, Ruben Randall. Here's his numbers over the course of his career.
Okay.
He's had a career high of 71 receptions. That came last year. He's had a career high of receiving yards of 938, and then his career high in touchdowns is 6. The 6 came in 2013. All his other career highs came off of the year that he is trying to build off.
Here's the thing. If you want me to consider as a wide receiver you having a monster year, here's what I require out of you.
Okay, let's hear it.
I require at least 80 catches.
Okay.
I require at least 1,200 yards. I require at least 8 touchdowns. If you want a monster year, I want 8 touchdowns, 1,200 yards, 80 catches. That's, to me, a monster year. And in this day and age, honestly, I'm being generous. I require 85 catches, 1,300 yards, and 10 touchdowns.
I was pointing more towards 85. I could live, though, with about 1,150 in terms of receiving yards.
No, I require
I'm fine with that. The touchdowns I'll give you. I think that's going to be very difficult to do.
Just because of
for this
cruising
season. Correct.
Beckham getting
I think that's
all the
gonna
targets.
Be,
I
mean, based on
so
the
good.
Numbers you threw out, I think that's going to be very difficult. That's why I think you need to maybe put it a little bit more in perspective. Monster number in terms of the Giants receiving core. As opposed to a monster number in terms of all receivers in the
hey,
NFL.
Lance,
how about that?
This is why I required a specific prediction. Because there's so much fog and cloud involved in a monster year.
But that's what I'm asking you. Is it a monster year, though, in respect to what he could do within the Giants receiving core or what he could do in comparison to other NFL wide receivers?
Maybe compared to what he's done in years past.
So
like, for example, how about this? Here's my point. Even if Ruben Randall plays the best football of his NFL career this year, I don't think his numbers will be as good as they were last year because Beckham and Cruz, I think, will be healthy the whole
season.
So
he saw more targets and more opportunities because those players were banged up.
Correct.
I would agree with you.
And again, that's not a hit. Ruben Randall, according to coach's tape and coach's grades, could play his best year of football this year and still not match his offensive numbers from last year just because of the presence of Cruz and Beckham the entire year. And Shane Vereen, for that matter.
There's going to be a lot of players that are going to demand the football. You're right. That's why I don't see him getting 8 touchdowns, as you threw out. That would stun me. Could I see him getting 70 receptions, though? I don't think that's a stretch. Mm. Remember, the fact that Cruz and Beckham are on the field at the same time, you know, Randall should see some favorable opportunities.
On any team last year, and I don't know how we would look this up,
as a third wide receiver? That's a good question.
Let me put it this way. The third most catches by a wide receiver on any team last year, did anyone have 70 catches? Did anyone have 60 catches? How the hell will we look that up?
Well, I'm going to think of a team here that I think, number one, has enough depth.
Well, while you do that, I'm going to take a look at the NFL reception leaders, and maybe I can find three guys high on the list. I think that would probably be the best way to do it, if my computer would actually function properly.
Well, that's the biggest problem. Now, we're not throwing in tight ends into this department, I'm assuming.
Wide
okay.
receivers.
Because there clearly have been teams where a tight end gets in that ballpark, not necessarily a third wide receiver. I think in order for that to happen, you need an injury.
And our loyal tweeter already tweeted me back. This is what I'm talking about.
There you go. Perfect. So let's hear.
Over 80 catches, over 1,100 yards, double-digit TDs. Monster enough? Yes. If he goes 80 catches, 1,100 yards, 10 or more touchdowns, I'll consider that a monster year. You know what? It's going on the board.
There you go. Well, but then he is also going based on what you're doing, and you're saying a monster year with respect to an NFL-wide receiver, period.
Yes, correct.
Not necessarily within the Giants' depth chart. So there we go. At least we have some clarity to the conversation.
Minimum.
That would be impressive if he's able to pull that off.
Yeah, I'd be extremely impressed.
I'd be
and those would be
impressed.
Very impressive numbers. And I think that's a bold prediction, and that's why it's going on the board.
See? That was my goal. I just wanted something on the board, and now I could smile because I got it done. So there you go.
What's going on?
I'm very pleased. I'm looking at the Philadelphia Eagles receiving core because they had some depth here, and they had some spreading of the wealth going on. But
thumbtacks.
Even the highest total was just 55 receiving yards. So you're going to have to borrow from the right. And I know this is going to kill you right now because you're going to loosen one of the things here.
No, Dick Lynch has excess thumbtacks on his picture there.
Very nice.
So Dick Lynch is lending me one of his thumbtacks, and it's going here. All right, at Elam Gray. It's up. You got it. At JCS 2008. See, I appreciate this. You know, a lot of people make all these bold predictions, and, you know, people that host all these talk shows say these ridiculous things. They don't happen. And then they, like, erase history like they never said it. I predicted Knicks would make the Pro Bowl the year he had zero catches. Oops. See? Some of them willing to admit their mistake. I can appreciate that.
Okay. There you go. I'm very happy that we threw that out. Are you maybe alluding to something that you've done in the past, or perhaps he was alluding to something that you've done in the past, and you haven't necessarily
lived up to? He didn't allude to anything. That was
okay.
My point.
I'm just
I've been wrong more times than I can count. All of us have.
Well, you've also been right plenty of times, and you're also ready and willing to pat yourself on the back for those
accomplishments. And I'm also
too.
More than willing to come out and say, boy, I was clueless. I had no idea what I was talking about. Last year, the Rams were my sleeper team to make the playoffs. How'd that work out?
Well, I mean, I thought they still made strides. You were completely off
base. I thought
base
that maybe Sam
that.
Bradford would stay healthy, too, which
is
my
mistake. That was really going out on a limb there, considering his track record.
I'm aware.
Yes.
You know, we actually never got to ranking the NFC's defenses.
Well, you went off on a tangent over monster numbers
show.
And so forth. We could save that for another
interacting
show.
Interacting with our loyal listeners
I agree.
On Twitter.
Well, I'm also monitoring Twitter just to see if there's anything else willing to throw out there.
Do you see anything?
Well, we have Ricker81 talking about just the Giants, not necessarily about the NFC's. Vereen will have a huge impact on our offense this year. Hopefully, Williams can show improvement, also more balanced attack, which is a theme that we had discussed in great detail on the program.
Okay, I'll buy that.
All right.
You got anything else for me?
I'm looking through. I'm just monitoring things. Here we go. You threw out the 28 points a game. That was what
that was Anthony Phoenix.
Anthony said about McAdoo's offense. Let's see if we could throw out one or two more here.
Oh, you know what? We have one more caller on the lines. I didn't even see that.
Go.
Sorry about that. Steffi in West Virginia has been holding. Sorry, Steffi. I minimized the window with the calls. I didn't see that you called in. I apologize. What's going on?
What's up, guys? You know, I rarely call into this show because I'm scheduled. I just happened to be off today, and I got some work to do around
Great.
The house and all that. Well, I want to say this. I think the NFL media got it right about Devin Kennard being a secret weapon on defense. I really feel he's going to have an impact. Now, I will say this. I do think on this day, JPP will be in the running for defensive player of the year. Now, focus back on the offense.
Okay.
Now, you know, guys, the one position that I'm always concerned and always high on is the tight end. And with the injuries to both Victor Cruz and, you know, ODB, a hamstring issue, and all this hot weather and how it affects injuries and things of that nature. So I'm going to, first of all, the secret weapon could be Corey Washington if he stays on the field, if the coach let him play. But I'm going to go on a wild card here. Tight end, if both of them are there, LaCrosse and Jerome Cunningham will be the secret weapon.
Oh, wow.
Now, I will say this. Jerome Cunningham, to me, may be the secret weapon. And outside of Corey Washington, the key, outside of, you know, the health of Cruz, Beckham, and Corey Washington being on the field, I'm going to say Jerome Cunningham. Because I know they're not going to be able to keep all the tight ends.
Well, Steffi,
and Larry Donnell's injured, too. Let's not kid ourselves.
Well,
the
Steffi,
other, my dark horse X-Factor player on this team, offensive-wise, and maybe special teams, Jeremy Davis. I like the fact that he's going around studying with
David Tyree.
What's his name? David Tyree, that he's willing to put in the effort. But I know that all these guys won't be able to stay on the team. I would love for us to keep all those guys. I agree with Chase with Akeem Hunt, but I know that they're not going to keep all these guys. But I would love for them to, because if they did, if my fantasy is this. If we can have Beckham, Cruz, Washington, Rando, Cunningham, and LaCroix as the two tight ends, and you know, Larry Donnell would be there. We can keep three tight ends. Adrian Robinson, I don't know. And we can have Akeem Hunt contribute on special teams along with the guy from Dallas, Dwayne Harris and stuff like that. And the defense, and Spence has the defense playing solid, and depending on, you know, beast in it. Like I said, I think Kennard can come in and make an impact immediately. I think New York Giants not only will have a chance to win the NFC East, I think they will shoot all the way to the NFC title game. Now, as far as Seattle's offense is concerned.
Yeah, real quick, Steffi.
I'll make this quick. They do have a good offense. Like that number 13 that came in that Super Bowl, Matthews, he just came in and made an immediate impact right away. That's why I'm real high on Corey Washington and things of that nature. And I've been hearing all this stuff about ODB and his diva attitude. I'm just brushing that under the table. And I want to say this. Last year, I said before the archive, in the archive about ODB, I said, if Odell Beckham Jr. is the player I think he's going to be, I think he would have been in the running for rookie of the year. He gotta be in the running for rookie of the year. And as far as our team offense, I think the Panthers gonna have a good offense, and I think Tampa Bay gonna have a good offense. In fact, Tampa Bay, my wild card team, to make the playoffs this year. And that's all I got.
Thank you, Steffi.
All right, Steffi.
Appreciate the call.
Okay.
Have a great one. Appreciate it.
Taking my call.
You know, if Winston can come along quickly with those two wide receivers, I can see Tampa having a sleeper offensive season. That's a big if, though. Rookie quarterback, big, big if.
And the offensive line, too, improving. That was an issue for Tampa
Bay. They made a lot of additions on the offensive line. They really tried to get it better.
Well, they need to. They need the offensive line to play better. They need more consistency out of the quarterback, and they also need a running game. But you're right. They've got the wide receiver core to do plenty of damage. I think that division as a whole, there's a number of teams that I could see at least being much more competitive than they were last year, but I still think it's wide open. I think the Saints still have some question marks. Atlanta still has question marks on the offensive line. Tampa Bay and Carolina as well, but they have all been quite aggressive this offseason, and they also, I thought, made some nice strides in the draft, too.
I'm not going to read it, but at Big Blue Got Rings, his final tweet of the show made me laugh. Everyone, thanks for joining us today on Giants.com. For Lance Metal, I'm Josh Welk. We'll catch you the rest of the week. Everybody, have a good one. We'll see you next time. Take it easy, everybody.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30!
Broken intercepted!
Touchdown, Giants!